Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 4th of June, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, as per tradition on a Friday, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, as per tradition also, happy Friday.
It is indeed. And part of the reason my Friday is happy is because we have a guest today on our usual Friday show. Aside from Andrew, we have John Martellaro with us. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Andrew. Nice to be here.
I'm so thrilled you're with us today. Now, today's going to be a little bit different episode because it's, as always, Security Friday. Secure Your Stuff Friday, we like to call it. And we want to talk a little bit about security, but we're going to talk about it in the context of what we're looking forward to at WWDC. So, Andrew, I want to go ahead and turn it over to you and talk about the things that we're hoping will be announced, not just next week, but specifically Monday, when we get the two big announcements that come out of WWDC every year. We get the keynote, where we find out about the new versions of iOS and macOS. And then in the afternoon, on the West Coast anyway, we get the developer State of the Union, where we get a little bit different presentation and some more specific things about a little bit of the stuff from the morning, but also sometimes some new things that aren't quite as exciting, so they don't make it in the morning program.
Yeah, so my Apple wish list is large, but I do have a couple of security-focused ones. Uh-huh. So a few weeks ago, we were talking about password managers, and I noticed we got a couple of emails saying, you know, you guys didn't mention iCloud Keychain, and you guys, first of all, are totally right. iCloud Keychain is a really good password manager. It's easy to use, and it's built in, and I think we've said before that the best password manager is one that you're already using, I guess, whether you know it or not.
The one you have with you. Yeah, and you will always have iCloud Keychain with you, much like best camera. And we should have talked about it. That's absolutely a fair piece of feedback. Part of the reason I think we didn't is because the other ones that we specifically discussed do a lot more than just a login for a website or a login for an app. And it's a lot it's very easy to outgrow iCloud Keychain, but it is a really, really good place to start. So when your phone is asking you or your computer's asking you, do you want to save this password? Just say okay and start stashing those things, or let it generate one for you and get used to just sort of letting it be some long, weird string of characters. And that's fine. Please do it. Mm-hmm. Like the thing we did say that includes iCloud Keychain is it doesn't matter which one you use, just use one. So if it's iCloud Keychain, power to you.
Yeah, so basically this wish list is, I just wish iCloud Keychain was more powerful.
Yes.
You know, like you said, these other password managers can do so many different things. Like we were talking about, 1Password can store some health records now, and it can store any files you upload to. Specifically, my wish with iCloud Keychain is that I just want a little bit more control over the password itself. Like these other password managers, you can control how long or short the password is, and you can choose whether you want it to use maybe just letters or letters and numbers, and then maybe add some special characters in there. So that's part of the part of my wish. And then the second half is just, I think it would be also nice if it could handle one-time passcodes too. Maybe that's a good or a bad thing. Like it kind of would, I think, be, you know, as I say, putting all your eggs in one basket. Sometimes maybe it probably is nice to have a separate app that can handle your one-time passcodes. But like we were saying, iCloud Keychain is a good default manager to use. And I feel like if it could handle one-time passcodes too, that would be, that would just extend the defaultness of if you're like, you should at least be using something for this sort of thing.
Yeah. And it would also help get people off the send me a text message to further identify, because that's not a very secure protocol. It's better, it's a little better than nothing, but it is a process which is prone to attack, I guess. Like, that's a pretty good attack vector for somebody. So that's part of what makes it so troublesome. And we've talked about that on Security Friday. So definitely, if you can get into something that does a one-time password, you know, the six-digit code, your Authy or your Google Authenticator or your Microsoft Authenticator, if you have to use those for something else, those will use external accounts as well. So if you have the Google one or the Microsoft one, you can add your Facebook password or your Instagram password or your password logins and things where two-factor is available. Those will do accounts that are more than just Google accounts or Microsoft accounts. So you can always use those as well. So definitely turn that on where you can. And I like your idea that a better password generator option would be great. And also being able to be a little smart about the one-time password thing, I think that would be fair. So I'd like to see that very much.
Yeah.
So we're going to go back and forth. So John, what's on your list? Do you have something that's security focused?
Yeah, I have one on my list. I've always had this fantasy of a security watchdog, sort of an intelligent agent, a natural language intelligent agent that sits in the background and kind of watches over your Mac and looks for suspicious activity and kind of keeps you notified if you want through notifications. So there are things that happen in the background that are mysterious. Sometimes I know that Apple has a lot of stuff involving security like XProtect that work quietly in the background, but it's so submerged. And I think Apple likes it that way. So it's not to, you know, notify you too much and worry you and be Clippy. we remember Clippy, right?
But not fondly, but yes.
There would be this intelligent agent that would kind of monitor the activity of your system, look for suspicious things, bring stuff to your attention, said, you know, this app wants to do something. Do you really want to allow it? Now, there's a lot of protection like that already in place, but not, it's all mechanical. It's monolithic. It's programmed in. It's not very artificial intelligence, natural language oriented. It's more process oriented. Like, you know, do you want to allow this app to access your contacts, and you get notifications and stuff like that. But it's very stiff and inflexible. And I've always had this fantasy that there would be this agent that would be your companion that would watch and every once in a while alert you about something suspicious.
Interesting. Okay. I like that idea. That's a good idea. And I like your idea about it being basically somewhere between Time Machine and Clippy in terms of intrusiveness into your general workflow.
Yeah, so, it should have some settings, you know, that allow you to dictate how noisy it is.
Mm-hmm. I like that. It's a good idea.
You know, macOS is so monolithic. You know, it's a single Mac Unix core system, and all the Unix is built on top of that, and then macOS GUI is built on top of that. And there isn't, as far as I know, there isn't really any kind of secondary agent that kind of watches over itself.
Right.
So when you get an error, you're stuck. Or when the spinning cursor happens, you don't know what's going on. You just, you know, abort the process. You don't really know why it happened. You don't know what's happening to cause that, whether it's a security issue, whether it's just the app misbehaving because of bad programming. An intelligent agent could learn from machine learning principles that Apple's very good at and implemented in the phone quite a bit in machine learning. I'd like to see more of it in macOS 10 to watch over your habits and keep you advised.
That'd be interesting. Cool. Yeah. All right. So, Andrew, what do you have for your next item?
So I still would like Apple to introduce end-to-end encryption for iCloud Drive. And I kind of know why they've probably been hesitant, right? Like, I think they're trying to find a balance between we want our services and devices and software to be secure, but maybe not so secure that maybe the FBI will come after us again.
That's a valid concern. Yeah.
Yeah.
Considering how many subpoenas go out these days, Andrew, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. But I just think even if it was just not on by default and it was just a toggle, maybe you could switch on in settings and, you know, you would get a warning that says, please write down your password because this is it. If you lose that, it's unencrypted. We can't help you try to recover it. I think even that would be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be really useful, I think, as well. But I think the reasoning behind it, your reasoning behind it, anyway, I think is pretty solid.
Yeah.
So, John, what's next on your list? What's at the top for you now that we've...
For years and years and years, and it's more clarity in the update process. Right now, as far as I know, I'm not on Brixer yet. So far as I know, when you do an update, you get a blank screen and a progress meter that isn't always very accurate. And you're sitting there wondering, what's going on? What's happening? Is everything going okay? Am I going to survive this update? And then you wait and wait and wait, wait for half an hour, an hour. And finally, when the screen comes back to the login screen, you breathe a sigh of relief. And you've been literally left in the dark for an hour. Now, I'm not talking about something as detailed as the Linux update logs, where every little detail is surfaced to you. But I'd like to see some signposts, some markers. You know, during the update progress, instead of a blank screen, it says, okay, I'm getting ready to do this. I'm getting ready to do that. All right, give me a few minutes to clean up. Give me a minute to clear the caches. Now I'm downloading the new version of macOS. Now I'm going to install the new version. Then I'm going to reboot. Stand by while I reboot. Now this is going to take two reboots, so be patient. I'd like more hand-holding and clarity during the update process.
Yeah, I would like to see that as well, or at least like tell me what it's doing and then have something about the, you know, the update cycle. Like there's a support page that says first is this and then this and then this and then this. And so when it says on it, you know, this is what it's doing, you know, oh, that's step three of four or whatever. So at least, you know, like it might be a little bit while a little while longer, or like it's just getting started. So I got time, you know, I like that as well. No one has ever nailed down actual accurate progress bars. So I don't like no one has. I think probably one of my most popular tweets ever was civilizations have risen and fallen in about 1 minute remaining. And that seems, I mean, that doesn't seem to have ever changed from when I remember installing stuff on System 6 back in the day up until macOS 12, you know, whatever we get next month, like it's going to be the same thing. So I think it would really be nice if they could at least give a little more insight into the process. Okay, this is the third step of things it has to do, so I know the first two are done, you know, and knowing kind of where you are with that, I think that would be great. So
I think it would be too.
Yeah. Andrew, do you have anything else for the list?
Not really any more security related stuff, but another thing I would like to see is more capabilities for Apple Card. That's the card I've been using more and more, and I think 9to5 Mac actually wrote this a while ago. I personally want to see more, I don't know, like budgeting tools or some kind of thing in wallet where it can just keep track of like what gold you want to save, or maybe you've spent over your limit this month, something like that. And I think 9to5 did actually say this could be coming in the future. So maybe we could see this in iOS 15.
Well, we've seen some attention paid. We have the new webpage about Apple Card and the wallet app specifically, that talk about like the benefits of it and the kind of stuff that you can do with those things and all that sort of stuff. You know, Apple Card Family we know is coming. That's another piece of that particular equation. And I'm interested to watch it continue to evolve. I'm with you on that. And the tip I will give people, if you have an Apple Card and it's giving you the Apple Pay cash back on your Apple Pay cash card, you can put that Apple Pay cash card as the default payment on your iTunes account. So, like, if you, you know, in-app purchases for things, or you want to buy an app, or you want to buy a record, you can do that, and you're using your Apple Pay Cash, so it's sort of like it's free, because you know, it was sort of bonus money that you got back on your card. So, if it goes to your Apple Cash balance, you can make your Apple Cash balance a payment. I told somebody that yesterday who went, ooh, that's a good idea. So I'm just going to share it with everybody. Because then, you know, stuff like that can sort of be free, or you can get a discount if you're someone like me and pays for your subscription. Because you have one subscription from Apple, you know, and you pay for Apple Music once a year. And if you have $50 or $60 on that card, that $99 payment, you know, puts a much smaller dent in your budget. So there's my pro tip for today.
That's a good idea.
There's today's practical tip for Security Friday.
There you go. We did it.
There it is. It's a practical tip. I did it. Okay. So let's see. So, John, what do you have for what else do you have on your list? We have just a couple minutes left.
Well, my wife teaches Java at the local community college, and every time there's a new version of macOS, Java breaks. And since it's not installed anymore by default, you have to kind of go out to the community, and everybody has to scratch their heads, put their heads together, and figure out what's broken and what they have to do to get Java working again in the latest version of macOS. And I think it'd be nice if Apple, if they're not going to have Java installed by default, to at least put a tech note up and said, here's what's changed. Here's what you need to do to get Java 8, 11, or 15 running again in this new version of macOS. Here's the links you have to fix, and here's the process to bring it up and running. That'd be really nice. Because right now, it's kind of like everybody's kind of got to have to figure it out themselves. What broke? You do a lot of experimenting, a lot of checking the internet. People do trial and error and so on. And so,
yeah. And you have to go find.
We'll take that under the wings and said, here, we're going to tell you what we broke, how we broke it, why we broke it. Here's how to fix it. Yeah. And when you're done reading this, you should have Java 8 or 11 or 15 running.
Yeah, that would be great. My personal wish is that we get an update to, and this is sort of part of a larger thing, but I want an update to AirDrop because I have, it will surprise, in what will come as a surprise to approximately no one, I have a load of Apple gear at my house and all of it can be AirDropped to and from. And so there's nothing greater than having something on one of my devices and going, I want to put it on that one. And opening up AirDrop and seeing it say Kelly, 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 and having to sort of play AirDrop roulette and figure out which one is the destination I'm actually looking for. It drives me up a wall on the regular. I hate it so much. And the other thing I don't like is that Apple has helpfully merged some people's contacts. Like if you were texting... Like, John, if I was texting you on your phone number and then I was also texting you on your burner phone number, then, because as an international man of mystery, I know you have at least two phones, it will helpfully put all of those in one messages thread for you. And I hate it so much. Flames on the sides of my face, because there's a reason I sent it to, like, the one number. Like, this is your work phone. This is the work thing I'm sending you. And, you know, this is the fun thing I'm sending you. And it, and like, there's no way to sort of separate them again. I understand that Apple is trying to be helpful in merging everybody's contacts and stuff, but I don't want it, because if I want to send it to this computer instead of that computer or that iPad or whatever, I have absolutely no indication of which device is which or anything. And it hurts every time I want to AirDrop anything. It's like I have to put everything else to sleep and like do a bunch of stuff instead, and I don't like it, and I really want that to be better. So that's my pitch for what I would like to see when we convene for this again on Monday. So a bit of housekeeping, I will let everyone know. That's going to do it for us today. On Monday, Daily Observations is not going to be released until after the keynote in the morning, Pacific time. Once we've watched that, which I think is 10 to like 11:30 or something like that Pacific on Monday, we have all the times on MacObserver.com. There will be a link in the show notes. Starts at 10 a.m. Pacific. And when it's done, we will convene, talk about it for a bit, and then take off to go watch the Developer State of the Union in the afternoon. So release schedule might be a little bit off next week, so just a heads up there. John, as always, it is delightful to have you on the show. Thanks so much for coming by.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I love that you're here. And also with me today, as always, on Fridays, Andrew Orr. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a great weekend, everyone.
Indeed. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you a little bit later on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.